Tonight we're going to be talking about forgiveness made easy, and this was actually a topic that came to me in about mid-April, and I emailed David and Linda and said, well, it looks like the topic's going to be forgiveness made easy. I can't wait to see what that is, because I really didn't have any thoughts. I just had the topic. But several things have been coming to me, and it looks like we do have some stuff to talk about tonight. I think I'll just start by telling you a little bit about myself. I've done that before, and of course many of you know me, but what I haven't really talked about before is my current professional life, which, by the way, only has a lifespan now of about a month and a half because I am resigning. But what I have been doing for about the last 16 years is that I am a professional corporate trainer. I develop courses for corporations, and I have for the government, all types of courses, and deliver them. So what that means is that I do have some knowledge about how to develop training. I have rules in my head about how training is supposed to be developed, and certainly one of the most common rules is there are really only about three or four basic ways that one can organize training. If it's not organized in one of those basic ways, people don't learn very well. One of those basic ways is to obviously begin with what is simple and build to what is complex. But as I looked at the topic of forgiveness, I realized we're going to have to break that rule. Because the truth is, when we're learning forgiveness, we start from the perspective of the ego, which means we start at the point of complex. And what we need to do is we need to learn how to get down to the simple. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to start at complex and go to simple. I'm going to be sharing a couple of stories of forgiveness from my own life, both of which were pretty big forgiveness experiences through which I actually learned about forgiveness. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But as well, I absolutely invite everyone else to share your own stories of forgiveness and what you learned through those, or if anyone has something they're going through right now that they want to talk about that. Of course, everybody here, I think everybody's been here before, so you know all about raising your hand. Hopefully it won't be like last time I taught where I got locked up and I couldn't see your hand. So hopefully I'll know that you're raising your hand, and I'll stop and hand the mic over to you. So I'm going to take a break now, see if anybody has anything they want to say after that little soft start. All right, then. I think what I want to do is I think most of the people here, if not everyone here, has actually been practicing forgiveness for a while. And I would expect that there probably is quite a lot of peace in your mind. And like I said, what we really want to do is we want to start at the complex. We want to start where we typically start, at the beginning line, with the ego. So I want to try and take our minds back to what it used to be like before we learned anything about forgiveness. So if everybody will try and remember back in the bad old days when you pretty much only thought with the ego, and you had all of that stuff running around in your mind that made you crazy in whatever way it made you crazy. And you know, try and remember when you first started learning the course, or you first started learning about forgiveness, wherever it was that you first started learning about it. Forgiveness at that time may have even sounded like a crazy idea. I don't think that's anything that the ego really looks upon favorably. In fact, if I remember correctly, I thought that it sounded pretty crazy to go around and forgive people who were absolutely thoughtless to me. It sounded like I would be giving up who I am, allowing myself to be a doormat. it just didn't make any sense at all. You know, you hear things, of course, in the world like survival of the fittest. And, you know, going around and forgiving people just sounds absolutely crazy to the ego. I'm numero uno. Got to look out for numero uno. If you don't, who else is going to? Does everybody remember that mindset? hopefully it's pretty much forgotten for you now. But that's the beginning point. But then along comes A Course in Miracles, and of course it talks about finding inner peace. And if we're really, really crazy, even if forgiveness sounds insane, there may be a part of us that is willing to find inner peace. And I think that that is the hook that makes us at least begin to consider this forgiveness thing, even though we don't really know what it is or we don't know how to go about it. And that's really the starting point tonight. I just want to start with complete ignorance about how to forgive, but a desire to have some peace because we are tired of the crazy thoughts running around in our mind. In fact, to be honest, at that time, I can't even back up enough. We didn't really even know it was the crazy thoughts in our mind, if you remember. We thought it was all those other people and the things they were doing to us, or the pressures of the job, or the bills, or the traffic, or, you know, whatever else it was that drove you crazy. So that's the complex situation where we're going to begin. Interestingly, and I know that this is true for a lot of you all, if not all of you all, you know, that's one thing that's great is that we all have the same experiences, which proves, I think, that we are absolutely one. But for me, when I really started learning about forgiveness was the day that I started lesson 122 in the workbook, which is forgiveness offers everything I want. And that is when I started learning about forgiveness. It was a very interesting time in my life, so I want to tell you a little bit about where I was. Remember, I knew nothing about forgiveness at this point. There was a lot going on in my life. I had a boyfriend who I had been with for about 13 years. We had never gotten married. Of course, as you can imagine, as a female, if you want to stereotype for a moment, I had lots of feelings around the fact that we've been together so long and we're not married. There had been a point around when I turned around 35 when that biological clock started ticking and we still weren't married, so I went out and adopted a daughter all by myself because I had to have a child. That was something I was not willing to go through life without. So I am a single mother, but I still have this boyfriend. We haven't gotten married. And what happened last May, I believe it was, is he got a job offer, which was an amazing job, out in Colorado. Now, another interesting point to this story is Colorado is my dreamland. That's the place where I've always, always wanted to live. So when he got this job offer, he asked me if I would go with him. And I said, yes, I would. And I said, however, you know, I have a really good job. I have a life here that I have built for myself. And if you want me to give all of that up, then we have to get married, and I don't want to work. And he agreed to that. So in my mind, it started to seem like, in fact, it did seem like, I was finally getting everything I wanted. You know, I already had my daughter, so that was taken care of, but now I was getting married to this man. We were moving to Colorado Springs, where I've always wanted to live, and I was going to be able to retire. I wasn't going to have to work anymore. So as you can see, things are really, really starting to go good for me, right? I could probably just stop there because I know y'all are smarter than that. So this is where I was. This was the point that I was at when I hit, on August 30th of last year, lesson 122, forgiveness offers everything I want. And I sat down that morning with, you know, what looked like life was really coming to me and said, you know, I am willing to learn this lesson. And what happened that day, as a matter of fact, while I was still practicing my meditation, on lesson 122, and in it I was envisioning myself uncovering hidden dark clouds within myself, although I saw nothing specific attached to those clouds. And as I would uncover one, I saw myself in my meditation holding it up high above my head towards the light and seeing it disappear. And then I just imagined, you know, joy, peace, freedom, love, all of that coming over me. And while that happened, while it was going on, the phone rang. So I stopped my meditation and I answered the phone. And it was my boyfriend. And he wanted to know if he could pick my daughter up at daycare because they are very, very close. They're like father and daughter, even though they aren't. So he wanted to know if he could pick her up at daycare that day. And I told him that was great. Now, the reason he wanted to pick her up is he was actually planning to leave for Colorado within the next couple of days. I had already been down to town hall, and I had already done applied for the marriage license. No, I'd already gotten my blood test. He had to get his blood test and then we had to go apply for the marriage license. And then we were planning to get married in a couple of weeks. Maybe we weren't going to have a big wedding, just something small. He was going to come back, and we were going to get married, and then I would move out there, too. That was our plan. So I reminded him when he called and said he wanted to pick her up early. I reminded him that I had taken the day off work that day, and that if he had time, what we could do is go and get his blood test and maybe go and apply for the marriage license. And what I heard was silence on the other end of the phone. I heard hesitation, and I knew then that everything was about to come crashing down. So when the phone hung up, when he hung up the phone, he didn't really say anything. He just said we would talk later. So I went back to my meditation and again listened to the thoughts about forgiveness offers everything I want, and again committed to learning forgiveness. And I recognized that I was being given a humongous opportunity because everything I had ever wanted was about to be taken away from me. And I decided to see that as a forgiveness lesson. So what I promised myself I would do is keep my journal throughout the day, all day long. And I did go to my journal throughout the day and kept track of all of my thoughts. And it's really interesting because I want to remind you that this time I really did not even know what forgiveness was. I knew nothing. But I knew that somehow I wanted to learn it. And there was a point in my journal, in fact, because I was writing my journal all day, I have the time documented here. It was 11:40 a.m., where I started documenting that there was a lot going on in my mind. And I started noticing that there's all these thoughts going on in my mind. And I thought, is that what I'm supposed to forgive? You know, instead of forgiving Ron for the fact that he's about to ruin my life, am I supposed to just forgive these thoughts in my mind? And I started thinking that, and I thought, well, you know, the thoughts in my mind are always changing, but they're always there driving me crazy in some way. For example, right after 9/11, there was all that fear around terrorism. And then, you know, at that time, I actually had squirrels in my attic, and every time I heard them running around, they were driving me crazy because I'm trying to sell my house so I can move to Colorado, and who's going to buy a house with squirrels in the attic? So I'm thinking about all the chatter in my mind about trying to get rid of the squirrels, trying to sell the house. Of course, now that the phone rang this morning, I heard the hesitation. The chatter was about that. But I began to realize that although the chatter changed, or the seeming subject of the chatter changed, the thing that was always constant was the chatter. And so that's when I started to wonder, could forgiveness be as simple as forgiving the chatter in my mind? And when I wrote that line in my journal, a very strange thing happened. I had a very strong feeling of deja vu. And that's when I knew I was on to something. And that's when I started to learn what forgiveness is, because all of a sudden, everything switched from a focus on the outside world to a focus on the inside world. Now, this particular part of this story actually continues for a couple of weeks. He did not come in and call off the wedding that day. What happened that day was he came in, we talked about it. He talked about all the pressure he was under with the move, the new job, different things that were going on. His daughter, he's been married before, his daughter had just started college and was not adjusting well. So he talked about all the pressure and said, you know, now was just not a good time for him, and that he wanted to marry me, but what he really wanted to do was postpone it. So what we agreed to that day was that December would be a better time for the move over the school break, that I would go ahead and stay here through the fall, and then, you know, we would get married maybe like November-ish, late in the fall, and then I would move during December. So it seemed like, again, if you look at the form, it seemed like things were starting to get a little better again. But what I kept noticing, now that I had made that shift in my mind that it wasn't about the outside world, it was about the inside world, I kept noticing the chatter. And I noticed that even though things seemed to look better, that chatter was in my mind. I was still worried about selling the house, still worried about the timing of selling the house with the timing of the move. Worried about would I get enough money, because what I had offered to do was pay cash for the house in Colorado, and that would then mean I never had to work again for the rest of my life. That was my financial contribution to the family. So would I get enough money for this house in order to go there and pay cash for a house in Colorado? Would my daughter adjust well to the new school? You know, just I can't even remember what all the chatter was, but suddenly I was noticing how crazy I was in my mind, which is something I really hadn't noticed before. In fact, that very day when we had decided to postpone until December. Okay, let me continue a little bit more, then I'm going to let somebody else tell a forgiveness story. That was the day that we had decided just to postpone to December, and as I mentioned, that certainly looked better to me. After he had gone somewhere, I don't remember where he went, I took my daughter to, we have a park in our town, a lovely park with a lake, and I took her to the lake, and we were walking around the lake, and we were throwing rocks in the lake. And what I happened to notice is she's throwing rocks in the lake and giggling and trying to skip rocks and laughing at how big the splash is. And all I'm doing is worrying. And I was noticing that I was paying no attention to the lake. I was paying no attention to the simple joy of throwing rocks. I was just worrying about all this stuff in my life, even though we had just agreed to go ahead and get married. So I just thought that was very interesting. Well, a couple weeks later, what happened was I did get an offer on my house. It was probably bottom line what I was willing to accept, so it wasn't an offer I was super comfortable with. It was just cutting in there with the money I thought that I needed, but I wanted this done. I wanted to sell the house, and these particular people, even though this was only September, they were willing to wait and close in December, which of course was the perfect timing that my boyfriend and I had agreed to for getting married. So what I wanted to do was go ahead and accept the offer, have it done with, and then I would be saved, right? Now I'm going to be saved again by something external. So I called him up, told him about the offer, told him that I wanted to accept it and that I was going to sign to accept it today. And that's when I heard it again, the silence. You know, I told him it's December. You know, that's what we had agreed to. But I heard the silence again. And so I knew once again, my world was about to come crashing down on me. And in fact, to be honest, what happened was I got sick. I got physically ill. I went to work that day, and I got physically ill, and I had to come home. So I was feeling pretty bad. He happened to be coming back to town that weekend, so we agreed to wait until the weekend so we could talk in person. So once again, all I had was silence, and this was on a Thursday, but I knew it was coming. So, once again, what I did was I committed to taking this opportunity as a forgiveness lesson. Since that was Thursday, I was sick all day Thursday, so I didn't do much but lay in bed and try to be patient with myself. But I spent all day Friday preparing my mind for forgiveness. And I had recently seen the movie Joe Versus the Volcano. Are you all familiar with that movie? And have you seen the end where he has to jump in a volcano? I am a person who has always been very good at planning things, very good at knowing what I want, very good at planning for it, very good at making it happen. And what I actively decided to do was, for the first time in my life, I wasn't going to try to make anything happen. I decided that I was not going to try and talk to him, try and help him see things another way. I was just going to let go and let whatever was going to happen, happen, and trust God. That was my plan. And I felt like Joe jumping into the volcano because this was my life, gang. This is what I wanted more than anything. And now I've decided not to have any control over it whatsoever. So this was my very first time doing that. And it was scary, but I wanted to do it more than anything. I wanted to jump in that volcano. I was very fortunate that Saturday, Gary Renard was in the area, and I happened to go and spend all day Saturday listening to him, which I think was helpful because I was just filled with peace all day listening to him. And again, kept focusing on my purpose, being not to try and control the situation, not to have a desire for a specific outcome, and only to learn about forgiveness. So Sunday morning, we had the conversation, and it was very, very, very interesting because I was ready for it. He actually wasn't. He wanted to tell me that he didn't want to get married, and that was very difficult for him, and I found myself helping him tell me. I found myself telling him not to worry, that no matter what, I was going to love him. And, of course, he didn't believe me. I mean, who's going to believe a woman? He's waiting for me to flip out and start hitting him with something. You know? But I explained to him about A Course in Miracles. I hadn't really told him about it yet. So I explained to him about A Course in Miracles, explained to him about forgiveness, and told him that my goal now was forgiveness, and that it had nothing to do with the external world. It had nothing to do with what he was about to say to me. My whole goal was to learn how to forgive. And, you know, before the conversation was over, he did tell me that he did not want to get married. And, you know, and it was fine for me. To be honest, I was very at peace in the whole conversation. In fact, you know, he was the one that was upset. And what I found myself wanting to do was make him feel better. So first of all, I had already quit my job. So the first thing I did was I ran and emailed my boss real quick and said, never mind, I'm not quitting, because, of course, that was important. But then the second thing I did was I went ahead and scheduled a trip out to visit him in October. He had already bought a house, and I said, well, tell you what, we'll come out and visit you. We'll spend 4 days in Colorado. You know, I love Colorado. This is great. Now I have a friend out there I can go and visit. And, you know, within an hour and a half, he was happy, Jasmine was happy, and I was happy because the wedding was off, but we still had something to look forward to, which was a trip where we could enjoy each other. And that was really the end of my first forgiveness lesson. And the moral of that lesson was that I learned that I was forgiving the chatter in my mind. And, you know, there's a lot more. I'm going to talk a lot more about the other things that I've learned, but that was very, very important. Because that changed everything from me believing that my happiness was focused on what was happening outside of me to realizing that my happiness had to do with the thoughts in my mind. I'm going to stop there, and what I want to know at this point is if anybody else has a forgiveness story they would like to share, or if anybody has any questions.
Hi, Regina, I have a forgiveness story I'd like to share. Please forgive me. I did not realize that no one was able to hear me when I introduced you at the beginning and had said to everybody that I look forward every morning to going to the Pizza Garden, seeing what posting you have posted as a question you pose to spirit and the clear, simple answer that comes forth and that you so generously post for everyone to read. So I understand that no one heard that, and there was a lot of silence in the room. Later people said, were you here? And of course I was. And on behalf of Linda, my co-host, and myself, Linda couldn't be here tonight. She wasn't feeling well. We certainly thank you for joining us. Regina will be here the first Saturday of every month. And I just wanted to say that out loud so everyone heard me. And please forgive me if you thought that I wasn't here doing my job as the co-host. Thank you so much, Regina.
All right, then. For now, I'll continue. Again, just raise your hand at any time if you want to interrupt me, but I will also stop every now and then at what seems like a good break in the story to invite other stories. One thing I would like to tell you, there are actually two things about the story I just told you which are really cool that I didn't mention. I did mention that when I started learning about forgiveness, I happened to be on the lesson about forgiveness in the workbook. What I forgot to tell you was that when I woke up that morning, even before I opened the workbook and saw what my lesson is, I know some of y'all have experienced this too. In fact, Ragna, I think you experienced this a few days ago where you wake up in the morning and you hear something like one sentence right away. And you know that's from the Holy Spirit. Well, that first morning, before I heard the silence from Ron for the first time, when I woke up, I heard in my mind, it's the order of the process that matters. And I didn't know what that meant then, but I heard it and I knew it meant something, and I wrote it down in my journal. It was probably months later before I realized that that was probably a comment about cause and effect. Because remember, that's the day when I realized that it's the thoughts I need to focus on, what's in my mind, rather than focusing on the form. But that is what I heard that morning before this forgiveness lesson began. Also, the forgiveness lesson ended, this particular one, had its conclusion on a Sunday, as I mentioned. The next morning, on Monday when I woke up, my workbook lesson was lesson number 135. If I defend myself, I am attacked. But what was really interesting in that lesson is that lesson talks about how self-initiated plans are actually a defense because you are trying to protect yourself. And that what you need to do is let go of self-initiated plans so that you are available to do what God would have you do. And when I woke up Monday morning and realized that, I thought, oh my God, I just got out of a self-initiated plan that was going to have me committed for the rest of my life. And now I am completely available for whatever God would have me do. And I was so ecstatic I can't even describe it. So I walked into work on Monday morning. Now you got to remember how the people at work were feeling. For a couple of months now, they had heard that I'm going to get married, and we all know how people feel about women getting married, especially, you know, 44-year-old women. Oh, yay, she finally made it. So everybody thinks I'm finally getting married. Everybody thinks I'm moving to Colorado. One knows I've always wanted to live in Colorado. And everybody thinks I'm going to get to retire. In fact, they were planning on Tuesday a surprise wedding shower for me. And I walk in to work on Monday with this huge smile on my face telling them that the plans are over, that I'm not going. And everybody just stared at me. Nobody even said a word. And I said, does anybody have any questions they want to ask? And they just stared at me. And I think that they probably thought I was about to crack up because I was so happy, and it made absolutely no sense to them that I would be so happy when I just told them that the world ended. But what you all probably understand, if they didn't, is that, you know, because of that workbook lesson that morning, I understood what had just happened. And although I had no idea what was coming, I knew something better was coming. And I knew that God had a plan for me and that I was going to find out what it was. And so I was very, very happy. And eventually at work, they started to accept my happiness. And a few people even came in and asked me questions about it. And some of them I still talk to today on a very regular basis about A Course in Miracles and what I'm learning, and they're very interested. And what piqued their interest was seeing me not fall apart. In fact, the exact opposite, to be completely happy when this whole situation went down. So, you know, it's just amazing to me. It's still amazing to me how the workbook lessons and the universe work together to teach you what it is you need to learn. Debbie, did you have something you wanted to share?
Not particularly. For me, the question is not if I have a forgiveness story. It's like, which one would I tell? It's so wonderful to see you all here in the room. And that's my son Daniel saying hello to everyone. No particular story. It's just I have a son, and every day is a forgiveness. You know, every day is a forgiveness practice. Every moment. So no particular stories. I have a son, and that says it all. Yes, thank you, Peter. He is my fast track. He has put me on the fast track to forgiveness because, every moment, every day, I need to practice forgiveness with him. Don't like how I feel when I forget to practice forgiveness. You know, Lee. Everyone with a child. You know, it's just, and he's teaching me a lot by just being happy. I mean, just being his little loving self is even teaching me a lot. You know, just he worries about nothing. Nothing concerns him, in a sense, you know. And sometimes he even says to me, Mommy, you're too fussy. You're just too fussy, Mommy. And it just, like, snaps me right back, you know. And I smile and I say, yep, you're right. Yeah, that's it. I was just too fussy. And I thank and I give thanks for that. And And I tell him, I'm sorry, Mommy just forgot. I tell him that Mommy forgot about God again. Daniel is teaching me a lot, really. That's great. That's great. There is no one who cannot teach us something on learning as well. I mean, I've spent a lot of time disregarding people. like some people I have no need for, like, in a sense, but now I'm learning that my Savior is everywhere, you know, so I'm learning not to have that thing where I accept some people and disregard others. I'm learning that all are my brothers, all are my Saviors. And so I guess that is a forgiveness story I have. Thank you all so much. I love you all, really, from the bottom. If there is such a thing as the bottom of my heart, I love you from there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Debbie. And, you know, we couldn't have planned that better, because my next forgiveness story is about my daughter. So that was like a perfect transition. It was almost like a plant. So for anyone that is joining us, basically what's going to happen tonight is I'm going to end up showing you, I would say, the four lessons I learned about forgiveness, starting at the complex and working back to simple, which is why this is called Forgiveness Made Easy, because we're working from difficult to simple. And in fact, I will tell you that I used to think forgiveness was difficult. And some of you may also still feel that way. And that is actually not helpful. If you think forgiveness is difficult, it is. So one thing you might want to start doing is saying, you know, at least forgiveness is not difficult. And if you can, forgiveness is simple. And the Holy Spirit will show me how, even if you don't quite believe that. Say that, and that's what will happen. I do hear people say a lot, it's difficult, it's difficult, it's difficult. And if you believe that, that will be your experience. And that's a frustrating way to go, which is one reason why I wanted to try and talk about forgiveness made easy. So the first lesson that I learned then is that what we're really forgiving is the chatter in our minds. It has nothing to do with what seems to be going on outside of us. It has everything to do with what we're thinking about what seems to be going on outside of us. So what happened for me after I had this first lesson with my boyfriend was I started to look at my daughter, and I started to see a lot of opportunity there. In fact, to be honest, she ended up being much more of a challenge than him, believe it or not. That story was the easy forgiveness lesson. I will tell you, I've heard stories before about different people saying that the Holy Spirit told them to marry so-and-so. I think even David Paul and Candace Doyle say that they were told to marry each other by the Holy Spirit. I was actually told by the Holy Spirit to adopt Jasmine. At that time, I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit. This was several years ago. I didn't know what it was, really. But I got the idea to adopt her from a magazine, which by coincidence had angels on the cover. I saw an article in there about a female who had adopted from China, and it was like fireworks went off inside of me. I absolutely knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that that is what I wanted to do. And then as I started working towards that, coincidence after coincidence after coincidence unfolded to make that path very, very easy for me. I decided I needed a job making more money, and I got the job. I'm not going to tell you that story because it's a long story, but the coincidences that got me that job are amazing. They don't even sound true. Now, you all being from A Course in Miracles would probably believe the story because you know things like that happen, but when I tell other people, they look at me like I'm lying. That's how many coincidences were involved. I needed a house to raise a daughter in. I found the house very, very easily. The end of the story was I didn't really know how to adopt from China, and my boyfriend happened to see on TV, on the news, a person we used to know 4 years ago, somebody we didn't really know anymore. He had adopted from China, and when he was getting off the plane with the baby, they filmed it. They do that sometimes, and it was on like the 10 o'clock news. So he saw that on the news and said, hey, you know Don Baker adopted from China. You should get in touch with him and find out how to do it. Well, I didn't really know how to get in touch with Don Baker. And a few weeks later, here in Massachusetts, there's this festival called the Lowell Folk Festival. It has about 5 stages with different music around town. Thousands of people go. I think like 25,000 people go. Well, I was driving to the Lowell Festival a few days later, and I started thinking about this, getting in touch with Don Baker, and I thought, you know, no more procrastinating. I want to adopt this. I want to adopt from China. I need to figure out how to call him and ask him what to do. And I ran into him at the festival that day. Hold on 1 second, you guys.
Okay, as long as everyone is in the room, just to remind everyone that tomorrow evening we do have Martha Constan, who will be here at 8:30 p.m. on Mother's Day. Her topic, Mary, Mother of the World, understanding the symbols of love. And please do join us for that. Of course, it's our Sunday evening at ACAM Gather. Also, just reminding you that tomorrow morning, Peter Pippin, who's right here, along with Debbie and Daniel, celebrate every Sunday morning with Miracles Alliance Inspiration Hour at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Peter does start with the workbook lesson. Tomorrow's workbook lesson is lesson 129, and that starts at 8:30 in the morning. Of course, Peter does that 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday. If you haven't attended, please do. And all the things that Regina Eggers is talking about workbook lesson 122, Forgiveness Offers Me Everything I Want, workbook lesson 135, If I Defend Myself, I'm Attacked. The Course in Miracles is certainly not a religion. What it is a practice of retraining our mind through practicing the lessons in the workbook. And so we do invite you to attend our workbook sessions. I think that kind of covers it. Anyone have any other things? Regina, are you back yet?
Yeah, hi, I'm back. Sorry about that. Thanks. That was my daughter is spending the night with someone, and they had told me to pick her up at 10, but they forgot that tomorrow's Mother's Day, and they have plans, so they wanted to talk about a new arrangement for the morning, so I had to take the call. Thank you. What I was doing was talking about my daughter. I was telling you that it was just coincidence after coincidence that led to me adopting her. And what happened just before I started really signing the papers and taking the steps to adopt her is I went to visit my family and told them about it. I had done all of this without telling them. And when I told them about it, they weren't as comfortable with the idea as I was. In fact, they were probably scared. You know, there are all those questions, funny questions like, how do you know she'll be healthy? How do you know she'll be cute? How do you know she'll be smart? How do you know you'll like her? Maybe you should just get married to Ron, because at this point I'd still been with him like 9 years or so. Maybe you should just get married to Ron and have a kid, or maybe you should... Oh, can you guys not hear me? Okay, I just saw the any sound and was wondering. All right, so... you know, somebody suggested maybe I should do artificial insemination instead. People were in my family were not comfortable with adoption. So in spite of all of the coincidences, I got very confused. And I went upstairs, and I did not pray a lot then. I was not studying the course then. Maybe was reading it a little, but back then I didn't really understand what I was reading at all. So I went upstairs, and I said a prayer. And I said, God, you know, what should I do? Should I have a baby with Ron? Should I, you know, do artificial insemination? Should I adopt? And I heard a loud, in this case, male voice inside my mind that said, I thought I already answered that. And my eyes just popped open because I had never heard anything like that before. And I was completely surprised, but I never looked back. So, you know, when people tell me that they're told to marry a certain person by the Holy Spirit, I realize that I was told to adopt Jasmine. So, you know, Jasmine is my teacher. Just like for most people, their best teacher might be their spouse. Jasmine is my teacher. And she's the forgiveness lesson I'm going to talk about next, because she turned out to be a great forgiveness lesson. First of all, when I first was raising her for the first 7 years, she was actually incredibly easy. In fact, back then I used to tell people that, you know, I must not be able to, you know, they always tell you that God only gives you what you can handle. And I said, I must not be able to handle much, because I got this really easy kid who never gets sick, very easily obedient, You would not believe how neat she is. She plays with one toy at a time, then puts it up again. I never have to clean up after her. She's just amazing. But what happened when I started studying the course and I started reading about special relationships, I was just thinking, well, you know, I don't have a spouse, so I'll let Jasmine be my special relationship. And I said, Holy Spirit, I give you this relationship. And just like it says in the course, after that, all hell broke loose. This wonderful, wonderful child turned into the devil. And she started doing things like, you know, physically holding on to me when I'm trying to move from one room to another room to get ready for work or to do dishes or to do whatever I had to do. She would cling to me and not let me walk around the house. Yes, Lee, the devil. She started hitting me, kicking me, just being really angry. And here I am, of course, a new course student, so very confused, like we all are at the beginning, trying to be good and patient, and I have this wicked, wicked child all of a sudden, it seemed like. You know, and I would try and meditate, and she would interrupt me and you know, just do everything she could to keep me from meditating, and it was really difficult. So once I finished with my forgiveness lesson with Ron, I thought, now I need to turn my attention to Jasmine, and I need to learn how to forgive with her. And this was a much bigger challenge because she was always there. And I know that you all know what I'm talking about. So I started off with Jasmine. You know, now I already have learned the lesson through Ron that it's not really about what's going on outside. It's about what's going on in my mind. So I started with Jasmine by just journaling how I felt about her. And I'm going to read to you just a little bit of what I wrote. Maybe it won't sound shocking to you because you're not me, but it sounded shocking to me when I wrote this about my own 7-year-old daughter. I wrote one day, Jasmine infuriates me. She's mean and hateful towards me. She keeps me from doing the things I want to do, and I feel absolutely enraged towards her. Sometimes I want to scream with the most ferocious roar I can muster. Sometimes I want to slap her across the face. Frequently, I want her out of my sight, even out of my life. I don't feel like I love her anymore. At times, I even feel like I hate her, and I think it's all her fault. So the first step that I took was just recognizing how I felt. Because I think it's easy not to look at those feelings. And I felt like I needed to look at them, and I wanted to write them down as honestly as I could. And in fact, the day that I wrote that happened to be the day that I was studying workbook lesson number 170, There is no cruelty in God and none in me. And I just thought, how can that be true, that there is no cruelty in me? I mean, look at these words that I am writing about my daughter. You know, how can that be true? You know, and I remember even that day we went to the grocery store and she wanted to push the shopping cart, but she kept purposely hitting me on the ankles with the shopping cart, kept running into me. Or she would run off with the shopping cart and wouldn't stay with me. And when I would say, Jasmine, stay with me, she'd go, me, 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 me. You know? And I'm trying to learn this lesson. There's no cruelty in me. It was really, really tough. So I realized that I needed to learn more about forgiveness. I obviously, even though I learned a little bit with Ron, I still had a ways to go. So I realized that I needed to get down below these thoughts in my mind, that there was something unconscious that I wasn't aware of. So with Ron, I had learned to look at the thoughts in my mind, but now I'm thinking there's something under these thoughts that I don't understand. And I need to get down and understand that, because that's the real problem. So I started trying to look underneath my thoughts, and I started trying to figure out what was causing them. And the first place I got when I started asking questions about my feelings towards my daughter, the first thing that I realized was, unconsciously, and maybe just barely unconsciously at this point, just under the surface, what I really wanted to do was control her. And that's why I was so enraged, is because I was not able to control her. And I started realizing that because I noticed that on the mornings that I wanted her to wake up early, I wanted her to wake up early and happy and wake up right when I wanted her to. And the mornings that I wanted her to sleep late so that I could do other things, I wanted her to sleep late. Whatever I wanted her to do, I wanted her to do. And if she was doing something different, it made me mad. And so I started realizing that I wasn't really angry at her behavior. It was my desire to control and then not being able to control. That's really where my frustration was coming from. And so that was the beginning of me digging down into my unconscious. I then, as I was writing about this, I started to remember a meditation from June. This was a meditation that I had, I don't remember what the lesson was back then because this wasn't documented in my journal, but I remember that during the meditation I experienced an image. And first, what happened in the image is I started to see this box. And this box was kind of a redwood box. It was very intricately carved. And in the image, I spent a lot of time looking at the box. And there was really a lot of detail on the box. And in fact, it reminded me of a piece my mom had made in wood shop as a child. And she had actually given it as a gift to her mom. And that's what this box reminded me of. And then in the image, after I really looked at the box, I saw myself in the image. And I saw myself taking the lid off of the box, taking my daughter's blankie, which she loved more than me, and putting it in the box, and then putting the lid back on the box. And what I started to realize was that image way back then was trying to tell me that I am trying to put my daughter in a box. And I hadn't really thought about that before, so I started thinking about that a little more. And I started thinking about other things in our life. For instance, at that time, now, I think I mentioned my daughter is Chinese. I also live in a town that's about 15% Chinese. It's an affluent town, and the Chinese parents here tend to have very high expectations for their children. And I wanted Jasmine to be just as good as the other Chinese children in school. So I was doing all of the same things as the other Chinese mothers. Jasmine took piano lessons. Jasmine took dance. Jasmine took gymnastics. Jasmine went to Chinese school. Now, this is a girl in first grade. And every night, we had an unbelievable schedule to get all of the homework done and all of the activities done. And I remember at night, I felt like a drill sergeant, you know, and rushing her from one activity to the next activity. And, you know, like if during piano she'd start crying, I'd start screaming at her, "You don't have time to cry because we've only got 20 minutes for piano, and then we have to study Chinese." And this is what our life was like. So I started, now that I'm starting to get into my unconscious, I started looking at that, and I started wondering what that was about. And I started remembering other things as well, like before I adopted Jasmine, before I knew that it was her that I was adopting, that I was just waiting for a child, I remember I had a dream. And in my dream, now, when I look in the mirror, I see myself with dark circles under my eyes, and I absolutely hate that about myself. Well, in my dream, they handed me a baby with dark circles under her eyes. And I remember waking up thinking, oh, God, I hope I don't get a kid like that, you know. and then when they did, finally, another thing I don't like about myself are my thighs. I think they're fat. Well, when they did hand me her referral picture, all I could see were her fat thighs, and I actually cried for 2 hours because she had my thighs, and I didn't want a child who had my thighs. And as I started thinking about that, I also started thinking about my own low self-esteem, and I started thinking about how, you know, I used to feel when I was a young girl like everybody on earth was special in some way. They had a talent or, you know, something about them was special except for me, right? I was the big-time loser on Earth. And what I started to realize was the reason that I control Jasmine so much is because I hate myself. And I didn't want her to be like me. And this is when I really started to get down inside of the unconscious, and I started to notice all of my guilt. And I remember at this time it was kind of like taking the lid off of a box. All of this hate that had been crammed down in there and denied for so long started coming up. And it came up with so much force that for me, it even had a taste. I could taste it in my mouth. And I walked around for days. Yes, Pandora's box, that's exactly what it was like. I walked around for days with this hate just coming up, coming up. And fortunately, I had read enough about the course that I knew to let it come up. I didn't try to stuff it back down. I thought, okay, what's happened now is I've discovered it. That's good. And now I have to let it come up. So I just walked around for literally weeks with a very distasteful guilt, very distasteful hate, and just trying to let it come up. But it was not comfortable. And then also during that time, I'm not certain why, but one day I sat down and I did an internet search on the word guilt. And I came to this website called headcleaners.com, which head cleaning, that's what we needed. headcleaners.com, which had something to say about guilt, but I don't know if this is completely true. I'm going to read it to you, but it took me to another place that really helped. It said, guilt seems to be a very primitive mental mechanism that was programmed into us to protect us in the future from mistakes we have made in the past. And I started thinking about that, and I started realizing that when I feel guilty, I automatically believe I am bad, worthless. That's what guilt makes me think of. And I started thinking, what if when I felt guilty, what if instead of believing that about myself, I just believed that I had a lesson to learn, and I started asking, what is my lesson here? And that's when I realized that the core problem, of course, you know, the Course tells us this, so it's completely different when you realize it for yourself. That's when I realized that my core problem was that I believed I was bad, and I needed to let that go. Let's see, I'm reading what Ragnar's writing here. My son had a dream about drinking a bottle of head cleaner. He was smoking a lot of pot at the time. I started looking more at my beliefs now. Again, I'm getting down into the unconscious. I started looking at my beliefs about the mother-daughter relationship. For example, I realized, again, these all sound very harsh, but they had been unconscious, and things that are unconscious are harsh. I realized that I had a very firm belief that a daughter must show respect for her mother and never deviate from this rule. That was a belief that I had. And I believe that if I did not respect my mother, I'm bad. If my daughter did not respect me, I'm bad. No matter which way I was looking in the relationship, I was the one that was bad. And it was, there it is again, I'm bad. I realized another rule. The daughter must obey the mother instantly upon command. Instantly. And once again, if I didn't obey my mother, I'm bad. But if Jasmine doesn't obey me, I'm bad. No matter how I looked at the mother-daughter relationship, I'm bad. And then the next morning, I got to look at that again because it happened to be the first morning of the year that it was really cool, and I wanted my daughter to wear a coat. Anybody that has a child knows that sometimes that first day of the year, kids do not want to put on coats. So I'm standing there at the bus stop trying to get my daughter to wear a coat. Now, on the outside, you have to understand, most of this rage I don't think showed on the outside. You know, I'm a very good actress. It's inside where I'm, you know, seething. So I'm seething on the inside at the bus stop. Finally, I get her to, Jasmine or Daniel, all kids are the same. finally, I get her to put on her coat and get on the bus. But then I sat down in the car. I thought, okay, now what just happened there? Why was I so angry at my daughter for not wearing a coat? And I realized she isn't obeying me. Therefore, I'm bad. And then I also realized I had this thought in my head, what will other people think if my daughter shows up at school without a coat? I'm bad. And then I just started looking at everything in life that seemed to bother me. You know, like if I had an issue with my boss, anything. And I started spending over the next few weeks, every single time something bothered me, I would, at the next opportunity, go sit down, close my eyes, and start asking, why is this bothering me? Why is this bothering me? And I kept coming down to that same belief that I'm bad, I'm worthless. And that's when I realized, you know, this is the problem. This is what I need to forgive. It's not even just those surface thoughts at the top of my mind. It's this belief that I am bad. So it was around this time when I started to find out, in fact, this is when I met David Fishman. This is when I found out that Spirit actually wanted me to write for it. Spirit did come to me and asked me to start writing. And I said yes, I would do that. But then, you know, I didn't have a lot of confidence. So I decided to try it by asking, what is a technique for forgiveness? Yes, Debbie, I'm reading your comment. To be honest, it's almost a little more than your thought that you're bad. It's your downright belief. It's a belief that you're bad. And it's a belief that we've been believing but covering up forever. So, yes, that's the real problem. And anyway, so as I mentioned, Spirit had asked me to start writing for it. And I said yes, but I didn't have a lot of confidence that I could do that. So I decided to ask Spirit, what is a technique for forgiveness? I had two reasons for doing this. One, I wanted to learn a technique. But two, I wanted to see if I could write for Spirit. And I know some of you all have seen this. I wrote it and I sent it to David Hofmeister, who sent it out, and then David Fishman grabbed it and sent it out, and that's how I came to get to know David Fishman and all about the peace of God. I didn't know about it before that. And it's been posted a few times, but I'm going to go ahead and read it to you again if you don't mind. So I asked Spirit, what is a technique for forgiveness? And this is what Spirit gave me. The reason forgiveness seems difficult is because you are focusing on the illusion or the ego and not reality or God. If you turn your focus to reality, forgiveness will be natural. Jesus taught this technique for forgiveness when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The first step in forgiveness is the same as the first commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. To do this, you will have to forget the painful transgression for at least a little while. Remember why you love God. Focus on the attributes that recall him to your mind. Nothing else will matter when you focus on your love for God, because nothing else is. The second and third steps in forgiveness are found in the second commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. To be successful with this commandment, you must love yourself first. So the second step in forgiveness is to focus on God within you. It will be difficult to find God within you when the dark clouds of illusion hide his light. You must face the clouds within you and gently blow them away from the light. You have already called upon God, so if you are willing to love yourself, he will help you. There is no reason to be concerned at this point. Simply ask yourself, how did this transgression make me feel? Then ask, why? And keep asking why until you get to the root of your feelings. That is the dark cloud. And when you find it, it will be easy to blow it away from the light, because God will be with you telling you that it simply isn't true. You and he are one. The attributes that apply to him apply to you as well, and anything else is simply fear. Then hold God's hand and with his help, love yourself. Your fear will simply melt away. Then blow a gentle breeze. Let it pass from your lips. And as the love for yourself, as God, fills your heart, your soul, and your mind. The third step is to extend this love to your brother. He is no different from you. The mistakes that he's made are based on his belief that he is separate from God. His mistakes stem from fear. He is just like you, only right now he doesn't know it, and so he's suffering. Your brother needs to remember God's love. Be willing to let it extend through you to him. Focus only on the love that is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the technique for forgiveness. So once I got that technique for forgiveness, I began to practice that. And again, you know, the first thing was to try and remember God and find God, or to find the Holy Spirit, whatever words makes you comfortable, but to find that within. And then with that, start asking why. I have found that the reverse does not necessarily work. If you sit down and start trying to go into your unconscious without first becoming in touch with the Holy Spirit, what can happen is it can just spiral downward, and the self-hatred can overcome you. I have made that mistake. So, you know, first get in touch with the Holy Spirit, and then with the Holy Spirit say, okay, what happened here? And that's when I really started to uncover my unconscious a lot more. And in fact, some of you may have seen the map of the ego that the Holy Spirit led me to draw, which showed not only what was in my unconscious, but showed me the defense mechanisms that I use to protect my unconscious. As we already know, one thing that is down there is that, you know, I'm worth hating. And that's all that I'm worth hating. That's all I'm worth is hating. Another thing that we all know is down there is fear, stark fear. Also, there is, of course, the feeling of guilt. But then what I saw above that as I practiced this technique for forgiveness was I saw the defense mechanisms I used. And again, we're familiar with these. There's the defense mechanism that it's not my fault, I'm the victim, this is happening to me. There's also the defense mechanism that, you know, I can keep things under control, which of course is how I started discovering all of this. That was the first defense mechanism that I uncovered. There's also the defense mechanism that I'm actually better than others. That's what I call false happiness. You know, that's kind of the top of the defense mechanism pyramid. But I started discovering all of this stuff in my unconscious with the help of that forgiveness technique. And what I do now when something happens is very quickly, as quickly as I can get alone, is I sit down and I practice this technique for forgiveness. I get in touch with the Holy Spirit. And then I say with the Holy Spirit, you know, what's happening here? What is my lesson? So I have learned to see guilt not as a meaning that I'm bad, but as a meaning that here's an opportunity to learn. And I think that's really important. And I simply refuse now to believe that I'm bad. So as soon as guilt comes, I don't even go there. I just don't. I know that's not true. It can't be true. And so I just see guilt as an opportunity to learn a lesson. It's just a trigger. And I use that forgiveness technique that I was given by the Holy Spirit. So what I am now seeing, of course, is that as I forgive, I'll go over the steps in just a second, Debbie. You're so good with transitions. I'm like 3 minutes from it or maybe 2 minutes from it. So what I've learned now is that as I forgive, it's not really forgiving the chatter up in my mind, which is where I started with Ron, but it's getting below that chatter and finding the foundation of the chatter, or what the Course calls the generalization, which is really the belief in separateness, the belief that I'm bad, sometimes it's fear and guilt. Those four things are really, you know, what's at the very bottom of that unconscious. And letting those go. And then, of course, after doing that now for a few months, what's happening, and I know that you all have experienced this, is that the world is changing. It's looking different for me. And so the second lesson really is that it's the thoughts in our mind that are reflected in the world that we see and experience. So to go over the two first lessons I've learned about forgiveness, the first one is what I'm forgiving is what's in my mind, not what's outside. And then the second lesson is, as I forgive my mind, the experience that I seem to have on the outside changes. So really we're talking about cause and effect, where before we thought the cause was the world, now we realize the cause is in the mind. And that's where all forgiveness needs to happen. There really is nothing in the world to forgive. There's nothing in the world to forgive, no matter how it seems. None of it is there. You forgive in the mind, and then things in the world get better. Okay, then what we can see is, you know, if you remember, those of you that were here when we started a little after 8, is we're really starting to turn the ego around now. We're at least turning it so that it's no longer totally standing on its head. Because when we started, you know, the ego was saying, no way I'm going to forgive people. That's absolutely ridiculous to go around forgiving people who are thoughtless about me. So we thought the cause was out there. And now what has happened with the help of the Holy Spirit is we've completely turned that around, where we realize the cause is in our mind, and not only in our mind, but in our unconscious mind. And now we've discovered that unconscious, and we know exactly what we're forgiving, so that we don't have to waste our time, forgiving tons and tons and tons and tons of little different things. We can keep forgiving the same thing over and over again. The belief in separation and the belief that I'm bad. That's really all we have to forgive. And, of course, letting go of fear, too. But that's really all there is. Everything drills down to that. Shortly after I learned this lesson, I did have another vision. And I think maybe some of... Oops, I see, Lee, you have your hand up. That's great. Go ahead.
Hi, Regina. What just came to mind while you were speaking about there not being anything to forgive in the world and... the world being a reflection of mind, what came into my mind was the example of if I'm with another person and we're involved in the same conversation with a group, and the person with me or I can perceive somebody as having done something really offensive, and the person that I'm with literally just didn't even see it, didn't even hit the radar. So it's really a matter of what is going on in the mind of what's perceiving. So it's literally only an out picture of something that needs to be forgiven in the perceiver's own mind. So I don't even know if I articulated that. Thank you.
Yeah, you did articulate that. And in fact, if I go back to my daughter for a moment, remember I told you that once I turned our relationship over to the Holy Spirit, she turned into the devil, and you put up your cute little picture of a devil. and she was physically, was restraining me, physically kicking me, hitting me. As I started to discover this unconscious, I really realized I was not truly enraged at her for hitting me and kicking me. I know it seems that way on the surface, but the real reason I was enraged is because I felt like a bad mother for having a daughter who would behave that way. That's what it was about. And as I started to discover that, and I started to let that go, and it took months and months to let it go to the point that it's gone now. It's not completely gone. If you all read what I wrote, I had some of that going on yesterday, but it's not at all like it was. It is much, much better. I no longer have those problems with my daughter. The form itself actually changed. She no longer tries to restrain me. She no longer hits me and kicks me. And that's what the Course says, that as you change your mind, it will be reflected in form. And it literally is. I also went Monday night to a soup kitchen to serve the homeless. And, I absolutely had a wonderful time, but after I left and I was reflecting on it, I realized just how much my mind has changed, because I was in a soup kitchen full of homeless people, and literally what I saw were beautiful people, bright eyes. I found it to be much more an experience of joining with friends. I wasn't even saying, I was serving food, I was serving potatoes, but I was looking at the people, chatting with the people. They were beautiful to me. They were bright to me. And I happened to think about that later. I wonder a year ago, if I had been in that same soup kitchen, if I would have seen the same thing. I don't think so. I can't go back and verify that, but I don't think so. I think that because my mind is becoming clearer, and because I'm loving myself, all I see when I look out now is love. Now, of course, there are little blips. Like I said, I had a blip yesterday, so I'm definitely still learning. But the vast majority of what I see now is beautiful. Everybody is my friend. And that's what happens when you stop hating yourself. That's all there is to it. It really is about letting that hate go. So, as I was saying, shortly after I learned this, I did have another vision. Some of you may have heard me talk about Angela. Angela is a guardian angel who sometimes visits me in my visions. She is just a symbol for the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit seems to need a body in my visions, that she shows up as Angela. And so I had this vision where I was riding with Angela through a carnival haunted house. Kind of a tunnel of horrors. And in this haunted house, there were all of these painted cardboard images. They were all very, very fearful. And, of course, they do what you do in a haunted house. They jump out at you and try and scare you. And I was frightened. And Angela is riding beside me. And I happen to look over at Angela, and she's just sitting there with this really peaceful look on her face, just looking ahead, smiling, and she's holding my hand. And, I realized in the vision that, I am buckled in to this car. The car is on a track. These are just cardboard images. There's no way anything here can hurt me, but I am absolutely afraid. And then I look at Angela, and she's not afraid at all. She knows there's nothing here to fear. And I realize through this vision that if I want to continue to believe everything that I believe in this world, that's okay. That really is okay. That's my choice. I can continue to believe it, and I continue to be afraid and continue to feel guilty and continue to hate myself. And Angela seems okay with that because she knows it's not going to last forever and she knows it's not going to hurt me. But then I also thought, why would I want to do that? Why would I want to do that? And that's when I really started moving full speed ahead with every single thing that disturbed my peace. I tried to let it go because it does not make any sense at all for me to ride around in this tunnel of horrors scaring myself if I don't have to. So that was a helpful little image, and it really got me moving. And so then I started working a lot more with Spirit to get more tips from Spirit on how to forgive. And so by now, this is where I'm in the phase of my life now where I am writing for Spirit. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start reading to you some of the things that Spirit shared with me in order to help me learn to forgive. One of the things I'm going to share with you was actually when I was studying workbook lesson number 283, My True Identity Abides in You. When I was meditating on that, I very clearly heard Spirit say, let go of Regina. And so I asked Spirit, I heard you say, let go of Regina. I said, okay, I'm willing to do that now because, of course, I don't want to stay in this tunnel of horrors if I don't have to. But can you tell me how? So this is the answer I heard from Spirit. Watch your thoughts even more than you seem to do now. Ask yourself which source each thought is from. If it is from the ego, give it up immediately. Do not judge it. Associate no emotion with giving it up. Just give it up and be done with it. As you do this, you will be preparing yourself to give up Regina. You are actively giving up Regina with each thought you give up. It is true that if you give up the trunk of the tree, you also let go of the leaves. So do notice the foundation of everything you forgive. I show you the foundation so you could forgive more quickly. Do not get stuck on specifics. Look for generalizations, forgive the generalizations, and know that the specifics will go with it. So you know that Spirit gave me that picture of the ego, which I drew. Where here, Spirit is again reminding me that I have that picture of the ego with those generalizations of the belief in separation, the self-hatred, the fear. And Spirit is reminding me to keep giving those things up. Don't get stuck on forgiving Jasmine for hitting me, because don't get stuck on that because that's not what it's about. And just keep doing it. And Spirit is telling me, watch my thoughts just all the time. Notice my thoughts. And, we all know this. We know when we're feeling peace, and we know when we aren't. And at that moment, stop, look, and let it go. So that was one thing that Spirit shared with me regarding forgiveness that I continue to work on. I try to, again, as soon as something disturbs my peace, to work on it with Spirit. Another thing that I started noticing was how hard I held on to the past with some things. For example, there was a particular person at work that every time I saw her, I remembered something in the past and the grievance resurfaced. I would give it up, but just every time I saw her, it came back. So I asked this question. I'm realizing how much I hold on to the past, especially in some situations, and I want to learn to let it go. Letting go of the past seems really challenging. I keep seeing the past in faces that I come into contact with. Will you share some tips to help me get better at letting go of the past? And so this is what Spirit had to say. First of all, you feel guilty because you think you lived too much in the past. You can easily let go of the guilt if you realize it is impossible for you to live in the past. Now is always now. You can only live now. If you are thinking of the past, you are not living in the past. You are merely reviewing the past now. The power in that is that you can choose a different reaction now than the one you may have selected in the past. You are not stuck with your past reaction because it is not the past, it is now. Secondly, when you are reviewing the past in the present, think about your memories as a diet. We could call it a soul food diet, if you like. The diet that you select determines what you will grow into. If you decide to feast on a diet of ego memories, you are building a future like your past. That is what the Course urges you not to do. This is what is meant by letting go of the past. However, you can select different memories as your diet and build a different future by reviewing those memories now. Choose to remember the times that you have felt your closeness to me. Choose to remember the times that you were in your right mind. Choose to remember the helpful thoughts I have shared with you. Choose your memories like you choose your music and your reading materials. Choose to feast on uplifting memories. Use your past to build you up and bring you closer to me. And I think that was really helpful to me, because I think until then, I thought I wasn't supposed to think about the past at all. And just as Spirit noted, I felt guilty whenever I thought about the past. Now I have permission to think about the past, but I'm advised to select what I think about to build me up instead of tear me down. And that was very, very helpful. I know that many of us have asked David Hoffmeister, what do you think about? Because we're wondering, if you can't think about the past, what do you think about? And now I have stuff to think about. All the stuff that Spirit has shared with me, I can run over in my mind over and over and over again. And anything that is beautiful, anything that is uplifting to me, I can think about while I'm driving to work or when I'm daydreaming. So that was very helpful to me. Sometimes when I write for Spirit, the way it comes to me is in I language. Spirit is leading me to write down what I'm writing, but instead of it being like Spirit talking to me, it's like a realization. So this next thing that I'm going to read did come to me through Spirit, but it's in I language. What I fear the most is loss of self. When a brother seems to attack me and I jump to my defense with a grievance, I am defending my limited self. For I have seen my brother and I as separate, and our salvation as being in conflict. Is this the self I would defend? Is this the state I would have saved in my mind? There is another self, which is still me. It is the self which includes my brother and knows no conflict. It is the self that requires no defense, simply because it is. It is the self that embraces all in peace and joy. This self is also in my mind, and this self needs no defense. This self will arise to take its place in my mind as I let it, by letting the limited, separate self go. It is as easy as letting a balloon go. I simply need to decide that I want to let it go and then open my hand. To open my hand is to be set free. To release is to realize. It's just a decision. So I found this really helpful as well, because although I knew that I, had grievances, even if the grievance only lasted for a minute before I took it to Spirit, it happened. I hadn't really thought about grievances as defenses protecting my ego before. I hadn't thought of it in that way. And ever since I've realized that the grievance is another defense protecting my ego, while I have a purpose of letting my ego go, I found it much easier to actually not have grievances in the first place. And if I do, I actually now see that image of opening my hand and letting it go just like a balloon very, very quickly, because it's the opposite of my purpose. I mean, that's all there is to it. It's the opposite of my purpose. I'm trying to get out of this tunnel of horrors, so it just makes no sense at all to hold a grievance. So the next one, then, that I'm going to read, this is when I was on lesson number 333, Forgiveness Ends the Dream of Conflict Here. And I asked Spirit what it wanted me to learn or realize from that lesson, and this is what I heard. It is a letting go. It is recognizing that which you have accepted as belief because you wanted to, because you thought it was your happiness, your peace, your security, and your source of love, and then acknowledging that you were wrong, mistaken. When it seems to be in your face and seems to say to you, "Here I am to save you," you must choose to maintain your sanity and say, "No, I thought so, but I was wrong. I choose another Savior now. I choose the Savior of light. I choose love. I choose forgiveness. I forgive myself now and let this mistaken thought go. I choose again. I choose my source, my origin, and the truth that is." And then let your true thoughts fill your mind. Know yourself, embrace yourself, and be truly happy, truly fulfilled, truly one with Christ. So this one was also very helpful to me because, again, even though it's in the course, it's always different when you realize it for yourself. You know, reading it is nothing like realizing it. I know you all know that. So this is the first time that I realized that all of the concepts that I have about the world that seem to be in my way now are concepts that I chose because I thought that they were my salvation. This is the first time that I realized that I actually chose these beliefs. Before, maybe I felt like a victim of those beliefs, like, you know, because I was born into the world, I had these beliefs. And this is where I began to feel that it is my responsibility. I did choose these. And that actually freed me. I know some people talk about when they have that realization, they feel guilty. But that is not the reaction I had. Realizing they were mine gave me the freedom to let go of them. So it was very, very helpful. In fact, shortly after that is when I had another conversation with Spirit, where Spirit told me to think of these beliefs, you know, since I am the owner of them, to think of them as old clothes in my closet that I no longer want. And when I run across one, I don't need to feel guilty. I don't feel guilty when I find something in my closet I don't want. I just take it out and lay it aside. And that I can do the exact same thing with these beliefs. I don't have to feel guilty because something comes up, that I wish I didn't have inside of me. What I realize is that it is inside of me because I once chose it. I once thought I wanted it, just like I once bought that dress. But now I've outgrown it. I don't want this thought anymore. And just like I can take that dress out and lay it aside, I can take that thought out and lay it aside. And that was very helpful to me. So some people like to not think of themselves as being the owner of these thoughts that we don't like. For me, thinking of myself as the owner of these thoughts freed me to then lay them aside because I don't want them. So if I'm the owner, I don't have to keep them. The next one is on the same lines. This one also came as a realization guided by Spirit. I do not have to believe my thoughts. There is no law in the world or among the laws of God that orders me to believe what I do not choose to believe. Herein lies my freedom. For in this thought I see that I am the jailed, the jailer, and the jailhouse in one. If I choose to remain in prison, I can at least recognize that that is my choice and rejoice in that freedom. When I tire of my bars and stripes, I can let them go and they will disappear at will. For in truth, they do not exist except in my dream thoughts, which is only my imagination. So this is very much the same as the vision I had with Angela in the Tunnel of Horrors, where I could stay in there as long as I want. But when I want out, I can leave. And this is saying the same thing. I'm the jailed, the jailer, and the jailhouse in one. You know, that it's so empowering. Again, as long as we feel like a victim of our thoughts, you know, that there's not much that we feel like we can do about it. But once we realize they are our thoughts and we have the right to decide whether we want to believe them or not, we don't have to believe that thought if we don't want to, and we can just lay it aside. It's very, very empowering. So really through all of that I just read you, this is where I got down to lesson number three. Again, lesson number one that I learned was that what I'm really forgiving is the chatter in my mind, not what seems to be happening in the world. Lesson number two is that the thoughts in my mind are then reflected in the world I see. So this was the lesson about cause and effect. Lesson number three is I have a choice. I can choose which thoughts I want to keep and which thoughts I want to let go of. I am the ruler of my mind. Okay, well, this is where it starts getting really simple now. We call this forgiveness made easy. This is going to be the fourth step, and this is where it gets easy, because what we're going to do is move choice, which is where we're at, David's written that out for us, to choicelessness. So I'm going to start again by just reading something that came through me from Spirit. The I that I think I am was made by the thought of separation. I am a product of that thought, and therefore, thoughts of separation seem to be my thoughts. Although the thought of separation is my source, with a little s, it is not my original source, with a capital S. For before the thought of separation, there was and is one. Just as the thoughts of my source, with a little s, are in my mind, the thoughts of my original or true source are also in my mind. When I forgive the thoughts of separation, I am returning to my original source, which is the truth of my origin and my being. So what is starting to happen here is spirit is really starting to, within my own mind, change the paradigm of who I am and what my true thoughts are. So it started by showing me this as if I had, in effect, two parents, one that might be a step-parent that happened to raise me, and then one that is my true parent who I wasn't as close to, it seems like, is kind of how I imagined it. And that right now I'm believing that I am the child of this step-parent when I am not. And it's starting to just switch who I am in my mind, which is a very important switch. I know that you all know that. So I'm going to read something different now. I may think that I have a choice, but that is a delusion. I cannot choose who I am. Accepting who I am ends the conflict of choice. I cannot choose who others are. Anything that I think I perceive on which to make such a judgment is illusion. Choosing to let the illusion go is the only choice I need make, and that is to choose truth over delusion. What choice is that? So again, spirit is showing me that I am who I am, and that if I think I'm choosing the other thoughts, other than those thoughts which are my true thoughts, I'm really just allowing myself to be deluded. You know, that's not really a choose. That's just pretending. You know, I'm just pretending. It doesn't really mean anything, which is why, you know, Angela's willing to ride around in that tunnel of horrors forever. It doesn't really mean anything, and I can't be hurt. But really, what sense does it make? Why would we want to delude ourselves? Why not just accept the truth? So this is the shift that's occurring. Here's another one. And this one is very recent. I know that you all know that I really enjoyed this one because I wrote about this a lot. It seems like you have many relationships, but that is simplified if, first, you can see there are only two. At any given moment, with each thought, you are either having a relationship with the ego or the Holy Spirit. Any other seeming relationship is illusion. It does not exist. There are only two. Once you accept this simplification, there is yet another one. The ego is only an aspect of your imagination. Can it then be called a true relationship? If that which is imagined isn't real, what is the only true relationship? Think on this today and be glad. And that was a very interesting lesson for me because it took a couple weeks for me to get it. Spirit told me a couple weeks before this particular paragraph to let go of all other relationships other than my relationship with Spirit. And I didn't like that. I didn't like that. That at that time meant to me that I had to give up my relationship with my daughter, my relationship with all of y'all, my relationships with the people at work. That's what it felt like to me, and I didn't like that at all. And I even tried to ignore it and say, oh, that must not be what Spirit meant. Spirit must mean my relationship with money and my relationship with my house. I tried to avoid it. But when Spirit gave me this, I really got it because I started paying attention, and I realized that I don't have relationships with you, David Fishman. Whatever relationship I think I have with you are really only my thoughts about you, whether I think you're awesome or not. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with my thoughts of you. And if those are ego thoughts that I'm listening to, David, then, you know, certainly my relationship with you is totally illusion. Same thing with my daughter. I don't have a relationship with my daughter. I have relationship with my thoughts about my daughter. And I began to see that everywhere, that everything really is about the thoughts in my mind. And if I'm listening to ego thoughts and I'm having all these, illusory relationships, but spirit is what we all have in common. And in fact, on Living Only Love, we've been exploring that this week because we've all been looking at spirit and, you know, sharing what spirit shares with us. And there is no doubt that that is the exact same voice, and we're all hearing it in our minds. There is no doubt that that is who we are. That is our relationship. So if I only listen to spirit, and then I look at David Fishman through spirit, I'm now seeing my oneness. And, oh, David, I love you so much more when I look at you that way. So, again, spirit is changing the paradigm of who I am. I remember spirit asked me to let go of Regina. Well, you know, I'm going to keep my name. I see no reason changing my name, but that is what's happening, because what is really happening for me now is I am starting to truly see that's all an illusion in my mind. It's all in my mind. Whatever I think of you is in my mind. And that when I listen to spirit, that is the one that we have in common. That is our connection. That is who we are, for real, guys. And this is what I'm starting to learn. It's new for me, but I mean, my heart is just dancing with the love and the wonder of what I'm learning. So, go ahead.
Yes, Virginia. I just wanted to comment. I think that that last statement you made is so important for us to realize that that we don't have those relationships, but we don't have to be afraid because we don't have those relationships. That was one of the scariest things for me coming into the course, believing that all of a sudden my relationships didn't mean anything. But it's totally wrong. My relationships mean everything. It's just that they mean everything through the Holy Spirit. They're much more special that way, because that's all there really is that special. I mean, there is no special, so there is no special, but you know what I mean. It's like that's all there is, and that's more than what we have looking at it in the ego sense of relationships.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, I think it is special. It's just one great big special instead of a bunch of different specials compared to things that aren't special. It certainly feels special to me. it's just wonderful learning this love and feeling this love. It feels special. One more thing I'm going to share with you. This, again, is just from a couple days ago, so you may have seen it. And this is only a small piece that came out of a question I asked Spirit. I actually asked this question for someone else. Someone sent a question on the peace of God asking what went wrong, what was the tiny mad idea, and that was the question I answered. But this particular paragraph has to do with forgiveness. It says, imagine, if you will, a cloud. This cloud is God. A part of the cloud decides that it wants to be different from the rest of the cloud, and so it seems to break off on its own wisp of wind, and it seems to exist separately for a while. Yet, this little cloud is still a cloud, pretending that it is something different, when it can never be anything but a cloud. And the reason I say that has to do with forgiveness is that's back to the lesson of choicelessness, which is, you know, the lesson that makes forgiveness easy. We are what we are. I mean, period. There's really nothing else to say. And so if we want to go ahead and listen to those ego thoughts and believe those ego thoughts, you know, we can. You know, there's nothing stopping us. We have every right to do that. But we're only hurting ourselves. And if we just accept who we are, then there is no choice anyway. It's either the truth or delusion. That's all we have. That's why it's choicelessness. And that's the ultimate in forgiveness, is when you realize those other thoughts mean nothing. They have no reality to them whatsoever. There's no reason to feel guilty. You know, they're just old clothes in your closet that you don't want anymore. And in fact, Ragna sent something out on Thursday just as I was finishing gathering all of these things. Here's what she wrote that day on Living Only Love. She said, this morning, I became aware that the ego is, in general, this morning I became aware that the ego in general, as well as the wrong-thinking ego that arises in me, wants acknowledgement for what it thinks I might do good in the world. This caused me a moment of despair, so it sounds like she felt guilty for a minute for having this thought. Then I went within and heard the Holy Spirit say to just turn the tables on the ego and not acknowledge that thought, because who I am does not want or require anything, and that I already know that. I have always known that, trusted that, abided by that. It still amazes me how quickly our Holy Spirit can remove guilt and resolve doubt when we truly take it there. And I thought this was really getting to the simplistic part of forgiveness. It's seeing a thought and then just thinking, so I don't have to keep that because that's not even who I am. and just laying that aside. So those are really the four lessons I learned around forgiveness. The first one, what I'm forgiving is the chatter in my mind. It's not what seems to be happening outside. The second lesson, the thoughts in my mind are actually the cause that's reflected in the world I see. So I had the cause and effect confused. So if I want to continue thinking all of those horrible thoughts, I'm going to continue to see a world of fear outside. The third lesson was I have a choice. I can choose which thoughts I want to keep and which thoughts I want to let go of. And then the fourth lesson, I actually don't have a choice. I can either choose reality or choose to remain deluded. And I'm going to choose the only choice that makes sense. And that's the truth of who I am. And let everything else go. And along with that, this again is something that came to me just the other day, but it kind of summarizes lesson number four. Appreciating others is the natural expression of my own self-joy. That's because all relationships are a natural extension or projection of my own thoughts, and my own thoughts are an expression of who I see myself to be. So if I am letting go of those ego thoughts effortlessly, it's because I am letting go of my ego. I am letting go of my identity as a separated self. That is what I am actively doing. And I am beginning to recognize myself as the Holy Spirit. Those are the thoughts I'm thinking. And if I'm thinking of myself as the Holy Spirit, I'm seeing the whole world in that way. And everything is coming up roses. Yeah, someone wrote, amen, amen. So that's forgiveness made easy, is simply accepting who we are and only accepting the thoughts that go with who we are. So, again, I'm going to pause and see if anybody else wants to say anything. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks, Regina. Like everyone else, this is great. A lot of good examples and content here. I just wanted to go back just briefly. I didn't want to interrupt you too long, but... you had mentioned that everything goes through the one relationship, which is spirit. So it's kind of like the clearinghouse. And once we make that connection, then everything else follows that. And I guess my question from that, is there anything that you like to do that helps you in strengthening this one relationship with spirit that you find is easy, helpful, and practical? And I'll turn it back over to you. Thanks, Regina.
Yes, I can definitely answer that. The first thing has to do, again, with forgiveness. I have things that I imagine while I'm forgiving that makes it easier. Like, and for me, when I have a bad feeling like guilt or that wonderful self-hate, I feel it like in my gut, down in my belly or just below my heart first. And what I physically do is I imagine it coming up and then evaporating out through the top of my head. And, you know, sometimes people ask, how do you know when you're letting it go and when you're just repressing it again? And I think the answer is when you're just repressing it again is when you see it and you're afraid of it and you try to deny it. You go, oh, no, I didn't think that. Or, oh, no, I'm not supposed to think that. That's a good one. And, you know, forgiveness is when you feel it. You say, okay, there it is. I know what that is, and I don't want that. And then I imagine it literally coming up and evaporating to my head, and I actively don't cling to it. Because if I was to grab onto it out of fear, that would be repressing it. So one thing I do is that imaginary evaporation out the top of my head. And sometimes, you know, like this problem I ran into yesterday, I actually had to allow the evaporation to happen. Let's see, my friend gave me the feedback that made me feel guilty around 11 o'clock yesterday. I felt evaporation from 11 o'clock yesterday until about noon today. So that was actually a pretty big one. And I just had to walk around and keep letting it happening and feel good about the fact that it's coming up rather than being afraid of the feelings. And just let it come up and let it go out of my head. Another thing that I do is that every chance I get. Now, right now, I am still in the job I was in before I started studying the course, and I'm actually a director of a training department, and I'm in business meetings all the time. So when I'm at work, lots of times I have to be focused on business issues. I mean, that's where my mind needs to be. But like between every meeting or in every meeting when there is something going on in the conversation that I don't need to pay attention to, I return my mind to spirit. I return my mind to spirit when I'm driving, you know, when I'm cooking. I am attempting to have my mind with spirit all of the time. And I'm really looking forward to this change in my life. I don't know if you all know, but I'm leaving my job and leaving Massachusetts. I'm going to North Carolina, and I'll be working with David Hoffmeister and Kirsten, and I'm going to be the caretaker of the Foundation for the Awakening Mind. And I'm looking forward to that because then I won't be, you know, having to focus on business issues in the corporate world anymore. It should be much easier for me to keep my mind with spirit, but I'm already practicing that. I'm not waiting for that change. And just actively at every moment trying to bring it back and really practicing that. And I do see it as practice so that if I take my mind away for a while, I don't feel guilty. You know, I'm learning, like when you're learning to play a piano. But I want to be with spirit 24 hours a day. I want to let go of Regina. You know, I want to let go of that ego. I don't want it anymore. All right, then, let me read my poem. This is a poem that came to me from spirit a couple of months ago, and this poem I love. It really kind of sums up forgiveness, and I like to read it, keep it in my mind. Forgiveness is the only gift I give. The one I forgive is myself. The gift is reflected in the world I see. It is reflected back to me. As I see guiltlessness, I know my gift has been given. As I see love, I know my gift has been given. As I see that you are me and I am one, I know that my gift has been given. And so in love, I say to myself, accept this gift. Forgiveness is the gift that I give. And that's all that I have. Again, unless there's questions or anything, that's it for me.
Wow, Regina, that was such a magnificent teaching. When you got down to the simplest, number 4, that we just have relationships with our thoughts, opened up a whole new world. Really. That's all I can say.
Yeah, David, I understand because, I mean, you know that I just learned that a week or so ago, so I get that opened up the whole new world thing. I learned it. It opened up a whole new world for me, too. I went to work trying to explain it to people at work, and, of course, I think only one of them got it. But it opened up a whole new world, and finally I wasn't afraid of letting go of all the other relationships anymore. So, you know, spirit is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful teacher, and I am always, always grateful for my teacher and for the things that I learn. And one of the first things I do every morning is say, you know, please give me my lesson for today. And in fact, those things that I send out on the peace of God are my lesson for the day. And then I study those all day long, just like a workbook lesson, you know, meditate on them every chance I get. And I'm getting to where, to be honest, I read the workbook lesson, but I spend more time focusing on the lesson that Spirit gives me that kind of goes along the same lines. So it's wonderful. And thank you, Debbie. I'm looking forward to sharing every month, too. This is really fun.
You are a wonderful teacher of God. You are certainly an advanced teacher of God. Thank you so much, Regina, for being here and sharing Spirit's thoughts with us. Thank you so much.